Like when you call someone a wackadoo, are you trying to kill them?
Wackadoodle. Do I have to fight you again on this?
Tony says wackadoo.
No, well, our mom says wackadoodle.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Tony Sprano on this one.
I know wackadoo. I've never heard wackadoodle.
Boom.
Okay, but our mom makes up words all
right.
the time.
Like, you're right. Our mother never makes up words. Right. You're right.
That's what I just said. I just said our mom makes up words.
Well, but yet you're defending that it's wackadoodle.
But the argument we had on a previous episode of this podcast was that you said that she says wackadoo, and I'm correct that it's wackadoodle.
Because you know how text messages autocorrect sometimes, and that's why you call someone a mother ducker sometimes? I autocorrect our mother in my heads. I autocorrect our mother.
Do you say motherfucker a lot in text?
Only when I'm talking about Joe's, definitely.
Right. Right. Welcome to the Sibling Sit Down, where brother and sister talk about the beloved New Jersey Mafia hit TV show, The Sopranos. I'm Sarah Stefanelli.
And I'm Joseph Stefanelli. We're going to be taking you through The Sopranos one episode at a time, one podcast episode at a time.
And we have a very special guest with us, Jacqueline DeVella. Jack, welcome.
Guys, what an honor. Truly.
I'm so excited you're here. Everyone, Jacqueline's my best friend. So hi. Here she is. Introduced
also, what
to the
an
world
honor to be Sarah's best friend
and distant cousin.
Yes, like eight or that's a New Jersey Italian.
That I always forget about that.
Yeah.
I guess we should tell the story now. One time, Jacqueline was over my dad house was in the over. Backyard. Your parents were over, and our grandfather was talking to your dad, and we figured out that after this person and this person that we are related.
Like seventh or eighth cousins.
Yes. And
paisans.
Paisans. And like, it makes sense because, ladies and gentlemen, we've been mistaken as sisters.
Yeah.
Before. So the
twins
relation
even.
Looks twins even. I think it's the height.
You know what you all often forget is that I'm also her seventh or eighth cousin because we're siblings.
Yeah. That's actually funny.
I've never once put that together.
You know.
Wait, and then that means that I'm cousins with all of your sisters. With your two sisters. Wait, wow. My mind is blown.
We thought we were the main characters.
Like, just me and you. Yeah, exactly. You're just sidekicks in our story. That's hysterical. Okay, so I guess we should go on with this intro. So we will be discussing season 3, episode 8, He Is Risen. Your ep summary, Joseph?
I'm ready.
You wrote a novel.
There is a lot to be thankful for in this Thanksgiving episode. First, Carmela and Rosalie take notice of the budding romance between Meadow and Jackie Jr., who had unusual sparks at a frat party at Columbia. Meanwhile, the effects of the events of university play out when Ralphie and Rosalie are uninvited to Thanksgiving at the Soprano house. Though he promised never to stick his beak in, there is Johnny Sack trying to stop Tony and Ralphie from literally killing each other. But instead, Gigi suffers after a tough turkey dinner, leaving an opening for a new capo in the April crew. But not all of Tony's attention is on Ralphie, as he's met a mysterious new patient of Dr. Melfi's, Gloria Trillo. This episode aired on April 15th, 2001, Easter Sunday.
Tax day.
And tax day, though tax day would have been on the 16th because this was a Sunday.
Wow. All right. You're right. Good call. So a Thanksgiving episode aired on Easter Sunday. I hate that.
Who cares?
I feel like it's weird because it's all about the seasonal vibe.
But isn't it fun that we're watching it on Thanksgiving weekend?
We did.
Right.
I love that for us.
The three of us did watch it on Thanksgiving weekend, which is super fun. But the people didn't have that experience.
But they laughed when they saw He Is Risen, you know?
They did.
Right. I just think it's less effective to have this episode be Easter. I mean, Ralphie not coming to Easter dinner is not as big of a deal. Thanksgiving dinner is big.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What if they named it after Thanksgiving? What would the title have been?
Ooh.
Gobble gobble.
Gobble ghoul, gobble ghoul.
Gobble ghoul. That's what it is.
That is good.
All right. What is our favorite scene? Jack, you go first.
No.
Why does she get to go first?
Yeah, no. Joseph goes first. I don't want to go first at any point. I'm the guest.
Oh,
maybe themes. We'll see.
Well, maybe themes.
Are you sure? Because I'm an English teacher. Are you sure that you want to go against me when it comes to theme and motif and symbolism?
I haven't been in an English class in how many years? It's been a long time. I was up at 4:30 in the morning thinking Joe Stefanelli has to hear me talk about themes and some. And I know Miss Matson, my English teacher, is listening too.
With yep. all so, three of our.
So English I'm just
teachers.
Laying in bed, staring at the ceiling, thinking about what if I fail? The Sopranos episode. It's harder than Shakespeare, really.
It's as beautiful as Shakespeare, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think you have a theme, though, and we don't, so we'll get there. But our favorite scene?
How the tables have turned.
Mine's Ralphie's apology to Tony. I just love the way he comes in. I love Gandolfini's stoic face and just letting him go, the ahem. And then the not letting him sit down for a drink was just great. I loved Paulie and Christopher standing there. I just really loved.
I sent a picture of that to you guys as excitement. Those two manning the exit.
So good.
It's so good. And beautiful. And Jack, you mentioned the colors of the autumn. Mm-hmm. Just beautiful colors with them standing there. Gorgeous.
Let me ask you guys a question about this scene, too, because we all hate Ralphie. I think that's a generally universal agreement of the character. But do you think that Ralphie owed Tony an apology?
No.
Okay. Why?
Dude, Jacqueline, he murdered someone. I spoke. What do you think?
I think Tony took it a little too far, but I still think an apology shouldn't hurt. And he didn't have a drink with him. You know, I think that there's a lot of layers to this.
Fair.
Dig, Jack. Dig. Dig the layers.
In their moral code, Tony should not have hit him because they gave the rules. What was it? It was, she wasn't your wife, your Gumar, blood relative, or relative by marriage.
And she's a whoa.
She's a whoa.
Whoa.
Oh, my God. So.
Who said whore best?
Ralphie.
Always. Ralphie.
See, I think Johnny Sack.
Oh, funny.
I noticed that too, but Ralphie's still better.
Yeah.
I just love, but I like the way, because when Ralphie does it, it feels character-like.
Mm.
But when Johnny Sack said it, it's just.
But she was a whore, Tony.
Like, I just fucking love the way you said it. And isn't he doing something to the top of his wine glass during it? I just, it's a good Johnny Sack episode.
It is a. He's really sticking his beak in.
Sticking his beak in.
Right in there. Like, Johnny, get out of here. Why is Ralphie going to Johnny?
It's a cannoli.
Oh, I'm ahead of myself.
Hmm.
Big cannoli.
Okay. Hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, my favorite scene is when Syl and Tony are talking, I think at Vesuvio's, right? All the restaurant scenes are in Vesuvio's.
Yeah.
And it's really a moment where we are reminded that Syl's consigliere. I love how the camera shots, they're just kind of talking business, but it's comfortable. And to bring back this warm colors, this is the first scene I noticed this really dove into this autumnal Thanksgiving vibe. And it felt comfortable to see them there together. Like, I didn't want the scene to end. Whereas it cuts to Ralphie and that has the opposite effect on me.
Hmm.
Anytime Ralphie's on the screen, I'm kind of like, oh my God, don't do anything crazy. Get off the screen.
I didn't notice anything about the warm colors. I really didn't.
Oh,
and I'm usually good with colors. Nothing spoke to me in that way.
That's the whole thing in my favorite scene. So I was going back and forth between the Johnny Sack gossip scene and the Tony and Corrado sitting on the couch. And I think that that scene, colors are huge in that. So they're both wearing green. I feel like it was a predictable answer, that scene, because it's like, I feel like very important, his quote, everything. But they're both wearing green. And I thought that that symbolized something. And then I researched what green means. And it means new beginnings and growth. Okay. Which I think is interesting for the episode, that like things are changing in all of these family dynamics. So I thought that that was my favorite scene with the color sprinkled in.
I agree with you too. And I think that this was a very delightful scene between Junior and Tony. It's kind of, they have a playful moment where he says, oh, you have advice. And he says, what else do I have to give right now? Mm-hmm. And Tony listens to him.
Yeah. I loved it.
I loved it too.
Tony admires Junior. He really does. There's no doubt about it. Listen, he tried to kill him. What are you going to do? But he truly loves Junior there. And he admires him. He goes there. Think about it. He has no other reason to go there except for advice or just to visit his uncle.
Well, yeah, he's like bringing him stuff and he doesn't shut the door. You're just as bad as Bobby.
That's an insult because fuck Bobby.
Hate Bobby.
Why do you hate Bobby?
Bobby's fucking annoying. And I really hate Steve Sciarrapa.
You need to stop saying that on this
podcast. He's a douchebag.
You need to stop. I don't dislike him. Bobby, if you're listening, or what's it, Steve, if you're listening.
Yeah, you guys don't do a good job of setting people up to be on the show. I will say that.
Yes. Why you don't think Jamie Lynn Sinclair wants to come on and sing? She doesn't want to come on and sing for us.
Jack, do you like Jamie Lynn Sinclair's voice?
No. But I don't think it's as bad as you think. And I did see her on the Cinderella off Broadway. And I met her in person. No big deal. And she wasn't bad.
That's cool.
She was Cinderella. Cinderella?
Yeah.
In Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella?
Mm-hmm.
10 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Wait, so was she good?
I mean, I was little, but I remember her being good. And she may or may not have like hooked up with my cousin.
What?
He's not my cousin. You know how like us New Jersey Italians have cousins.
Yeah.
Like you're my cousins, but not really my cousins.
Pythons.
They went, which is a good top talking point for this episode. But I know they had shared a kiss.
What a parallel.
Is your cousin Turtle from Entourage?
No, that would be awesome.
Oh, because she dated Turtle from Entourage. Okay.
Yeah.
In real life and on Entourage.
Right.
That's some meta shit there. That's
it is.
Doesn't that often happen to actors that they are couples on screen and then they date?
Not if I was partnered with Jamie Lee Sigler, wouldn't have.
You don't like her?
I can't be with someone who sings like that.
You're sick. I can't.
Jack, what's your favorite quote?
Okay.
No, if you have something else to say.
No, I was just going to reference back to a previous episode with Tommy where he was like, oh, you like judge every song that she sings. And I want to be like, Tommy, obviously he does. Like, do you not know you? Bullshit singing. My favorite quote. See, this is also, are my parents going to listen to this? I don't know. Are yours? Is Miss Stephanie going to get mad at me?
No, only our dad does.
So what happens?
He gets mad.
Okay.
Nothing.
I'm sorry, Mr. Stefanelli. I've never cursed in front of you.
Ever?
I don't think so.
Oh, well, you're about to.
Here we go.
On the pishadu? Pretty fucking humiliating. Thank
that
you.
That is amazing. Well done. Well done.
And fuck him in his turkey.
That's good.
I'm sorry, Dad.
Very good.
Yeah.
I like when Carmela's mom's nervous about who's at the door and she goes, it's the Boston Strangler. Jesus, Ma.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Who could that be?
It's the Boston Strangler. Jesus, Ma.
That's good.
But that's a thing that old people do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to put that in the in our future discussion of what is our topic? What the fuck is our topic?
It's like, oh my
what
God.
What reminds us
God,
of us?
Shit. Oh my God, that's us. Yeah, that.
That's a thing that grandparents do when the doorbell rings. Like, oh my God, who could it be? Like, who gives a shit?
Wait, but nowadays it is weird when the doorbell rings.
Nowadays, not then.
Yeah. That's fair. I guess in 2001, it was still normal for someone to on Thanksgiving, too. Like, I feel like if the doorbell rang on Thanksgiving, I'd be so excited because you're like, oh, who's visiting? Like,
who is it?
Right.
You know we're having a party, right? I have another one. When Tony throws the, or what is his name? Aaron is sleeping.
Aaron, the narcoleptic.
Mm-hmm. Which is hysterical.
Almost time for turkey sandwiches.
And my last one is when Ralphie says, I need to hear it was Merritt and not because someone was constipated and blew a gasket.
On the pigeon dough.
On the pigeon dough.
Exactly.
You know, Elvis went that way.
I heard.
Don something produced The Simpsons.
Oh my God.
Hey, there are worse ways to go.
Even still, on the pigeon dough, pretty fucking humiliating.
So Elvis died. That guy in Hollywood, too. Don something. Producer of The Simpsons.
Now, does your generation understand that joke?
I didn't. I had to Google it. If I'm being
honest. I didn't think you would.
Yeah. I only understood it because I saw your notes.
So Don Simpson, for those listening, was maybe one of the most famous producers of the 80s and 90s. We're talking like everything from Beverly Hills Cop to every Nicolas Cage action movie of the 90s. I mean, he did them all.
He produced Con Air.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, cocaine basically was Hollywood in the 80s because of Don Simpson. He loved cocaine. He loved cocaine. Yeah. Simpson.
Is he passed?
Yes.
I'm pouring water.
Yes.
Sorry,
he died on the toilet. This.
Yeah. That's.
He died on the toilet.
He literally did?
Yes.
Okay, I thought Syl was actually. I thought the producer of The Simpsons died on the toilet. But
no, Don Simpson.
I get it. I thought it was the other side of his joke. God.
No, Don Simpson died.
Okay.
He's lucky he lived to the 90s. My favorite quotes, my all-time favorite one of the episodes is Ralphie when he's sitting next to Vito in the diner and he says,
"Wow, you think I'm afraid of that fat fuck? No offense."
It's how fast he says it. It's like when a husband says something he knows is going to piss off his wife and just goes, "I'm sorry."
Right.
Like right away. I also will throw out, well, I like the Pisha Do line too. That was definitely one of them. But I do really like Janice's just quiet reflection on
a soprano and a little creole.
Like, that's all she needs to say to bring the drama towards her. That was fantastic.
Do we all hate Janice?
As a human or as a character?
I find her to be the most annoying character. I don't know anything about her personally, but I forgot rewatching this episode. I was like, I forgot how much you annoy me.
I forgot
how much the theme song gets stuck in my head. Those are my two revelations in the last 24 hours.
Amazing. I don't like her as a person, but I like her character. Like, I like what she does for the show, but I can't stand her.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought Livia was an amazing character, but I hated her.
I hate her. Exactly.
Fair. Okay.
Yeah, that's how I would say. I wouldn't call her annoying. Like, AJ is annoying to me.
Oh, see, I think he's important.
AJ's character, but... Oh, yeah, he's important. I get it. But I also hate that whole fucking generation of how he acts. So...
That was
but
us.
We
were this age. No, I guess we weren't this age yet. We were 10.
No, not that. Yeah, those are mine. Just some really great quotes.
Yeah, good episode.
The other one I loved, not to keep talking about the scene, but you steer the ship the best way you know, Corrado to Tony. Oh, I think I wrote it down wrong. But in the meantime, you hit your pleasures where you can. So he's talking about the ship and then finding your pleasures and then spoiling to the end of the episode with Gloria and Tony on the ship. Bada bing, bada boom, you know, like it all tied together.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Yes, and also the Mercedes. I thought the final shot with the Mercedes and the boat, just that collaboration of these two new worlds brought together.
Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about Gloria for a minute?
Yeah, I was just going to say, do we like her?
I love Gloria Trillo. She's easily my favorite Guma of the entire series.
She's not of mine.
She's mine.
I think she is one of the most interesting characters, and her arc through this show is so good.
Mm-hmm. And what a babe.
I just love her.
What a babe.
The moment she appears on screen, you just know, oh shit, this mm-hmm. woman is going yeah. to fuck some shit up for Tony Soprano. But I totally get why he wants her. Like, the moment she's there and she's just so confident talking about cars, and, you know, I think it's very important to notice how her legs are so featured in the moment in the therapy room where obviously the legs of that statue have become so important. And and I think even the camera angle's a little bit lower. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not straight on her face. It's a little lower so that we're focused on her legs. And just her voice. Her voice is so freaking interesting and just dark and deep and malevolent but beautiful all at the same time. Like, I just love Gloria Trello.
Question. Mostly answer. For Declan. No answer for you. Were fishnets a thing? And can I just wear fishnets? Is that like a thing people just wear still?
I think it makes a statement. I think, like, if you're trying to bang mobsters, yeah, wear them.
Yeah. Like, you wear them if I'm trying to bang mobsters.
I think she pulls them off. I think she pulls them off.
No. Of course she does. She looks awesome in them. I'm just wondering, like, was that out of place in 2001? Would it be now? Or is fishnets timeless?
No, I think it was normal then.
Okay.
And if not, cool. I think it was, we were supposed to be drawn to her legs, right. Not even in a sexual, ooh, she's got a nice pair of legs. Like, that's not even how I look at it. It's just the way she's carrying herself and the way, I don't know, it just something, everything about her. And yes, she comes back and she's not going anywhere. It's a spoiler. Her arc is amazing. I just love everything about her.
Well, welcome,
fact,
Gloria.
In the best episode of the season, which we're getting to, and it's, you know, everyone loves this episode. I don't love it for the reason everyone else does. I love it for Gloria Trello.
What episode?
I think Gloria Trello. Pine Barrens.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you know, I was like, what episode? Duh. That's my favorite.
It's coming. I don't care if you know the show or not. An episode called Pine Barrens is coming. It's not a big spoiler.
The best.
And there's two stories. There's an A story and a B story. And everyone loves the A story. It's the B story that's Gloria's story that just wows me. In that episode every time.
She's great. Not my favorite, but she's great.
Who's your favorite Gumara?
Yeah, who's your favorite?
Irina.
Oh.
I love her.
She's a child. Gloria's a woman. That's mm-hmm. why I love Gloria Trello.
She's 50. She's 50 years old. I just want to tell her to stop whining.
Wait, you think that's Gloria that Melfi's talking about?
100%.
There's no way Gloria Trillo's 50 years old.
Oh, whoa. Wait, you think, Sarah?
Yeah. Why can't she be 50 years old?
Because Tony's in his early 40s at this point.
Okay. Even so, he's drawn to this woman who's established and carries her own.
I don't think that's who she's talking about. You could be right, though.
I completely think that's fact. Like, I don't even think that's up for discussion, but apparently it is, because both of you are looking at me like I'm a little crazy.
For our listeners, if you're not sure, there's a scene, a separate scene, where Melfi's complaining to Elliot Cuthbert about it, one of her patients who, like, stop whining because she's dealing with her own pain, so it's worth it. And my sister, my beautiful co-host, is arguing that that's Gloria she's talking about. And I kind of want to hear now our audience, like, screaming, yes, yeah, she's wrong, she's right.
Everyone tells me that I'm usually right. So I feel like it's me.
The
I'm
only
right.
person that tells you that you are right is sitting with us right now. She's the only person who texts you and be like, by the way, you were right.
She's the only one that matters. She's the only one that matters.
There you go. That's a great thing to tell listeners. This is great content. We just told listeners, fuck all of you. The one person that matters, we got her. We got
so she's 63 now.
Right.
I don't know, Sarah.
I thought
sure there's a blog about it. I don't want to type though.
In the forum. Okay. Jacqueline, I think it's your hour here. Theme of the episode.
I'm very nervous. You have to be nice to me, Joseph, if it's not a theme. Like,
if it's a motif, though, we will make fun of you.
No, you can't make fun of me. You can tell me it's a motif.
I won't make fun of you. Go ahead. What's the theme of this episode, Jack?
Okay, so I think there's a few things, and this probably still isn't a theme, but I'm still going to go. That Thanksgiving obviously plays a huge role. That's why I think it's important that it's Thanksgiving and not Easter. Everyone is passing around leftovers and turkey sandwiches. Food plays such a role in this episode, and so does like the hunger for sex, the hunger for being the new captain. Like, everyone is really hungry for something. Jackie wants Meadow. Tony wants Gloria. Ralph wants to be captain. There's so many different examples that I feel like it feeds into the hunger and like the turkey sandwich of it all. Is that a theme?
Yeah.
You're getting there.
Okay.
And I think what you're trying to say is no, because ultimately now the question is what happens to all of these characters? I feel like I'm being an English teacher right now.
No, I like apologize. I appreciate it.
What happens to all these characters? So yes, you're right. So I think the theme of the episode is that hunger can hurt us.
Mm.
We shouldn't always eat everything we're hungry for because look at what happens.
But hold on, in this episode, nothing does happen to these people. If anything, the hunger... Like, Ralphie does get captain. Jackie is kind of, like, in good graces with Meadow at the end of it, right? Because he's super sweet to her when she gets in the accident. Tony is on the boat with Gloria.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah, I think that's great.
So we all eat what we're hungry for. Is the theme. I would accept that.
Okay. B+, B-.
I'll give you like an A-.
No, I don't deserve an A-. I'll take a B+.
It's a B+.
I forget who you gave an A- to, and I was like, that was an A+. So if that was an A+.
Me! It was me! Exactly!
Guys, he's tough.
No.
Wait, there's more to this too. Right. There's more to this too because they do pass around food a lot, and we always say food's connected to violence, but not in this episode. No. Not in this, like, it doesn't really happen.
But it is connected with death because of Gigi.
What does that have to do with? He doesn't have food.
No, but he makes a point to say he's constipated. He can't get rid of the food. Mm. I mean, I know they say he dies of a heart attack, but I mean, let's face it. He died on the Pichadu. He died taking a shit. And for the rest of this series, spoiler alert, whenever we've referred to Gigi, it'll be like, he took a shit. He couldn't take a shit and died. I mean, you could say he had a heart attack, but he can't get rid of his food.
That's really deep. Yeah. Wow. I like that.
Also, Tony brings another to add to your theme examples. Tony brings Junior food and is hungry for advice.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say that? No. Okay. Yeah. Oh, I like this a lot. I didn't have one, and Joseph's your sucked.
What was yours, Joseph?
I don't.
Wow, I can't wait to give you a B+.
Yeah.
I don't think mine sucked, but I'd say. Basically, it's all about how we all have moments where we rise, but in order for someone to rise, someone else has to fall. There's no way in the world does one rise without someone else falling. To me, it's very much the same way I always look at the American dream. Like, the American dream is impossible because for somebody to be a winner, you have to have a loser. So to me, that's not the American dream. And that's how I look at this episode.
Hmm.
So what, Ralph, Gigi dies, so Ralph becomes Capo. Meadow breaks up with Noah, so Jackie. That's all I can think of, though.
Tony's going with Gloria, which is whether Carmela knows it or not, has screwed over Carmela yet again after an entire episode we get from her where she's deciding whether or not she's going to stay with this philanderer. She invites him to go. He says, "I'm thinking about getting a Mercedes." She goes, "Yeah, it's a cute car." I mean, you literally just told him to go. Fuck Gloria.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even know it.
I said to Christian, yeah, that's a cute car, he would automatically not want the car anymore. Like, that's not exactly what he wants. He doesn't want a cute car. Like, why does Tony want a cute car?
I think he just had a boner. I don't think he cares at that point.
Right. He was not planning on ever getting a Mercedes.
My question when I was preparing my notes, where do cars fit into these categories? Because I think cars obviously played a role in this episode with the Mercedes, with Meadow crashing her car. Where would that fall in?
Symbols,
which is next.
So let's talk about it.
Cars obviously play a very big role in this episode with the Mercedes, Tony going after the Mercedes, with Jackie, with Meadow crashing the car. And that's how Jackie kind of like let his guard down and Meadow put his guard down. Cars obviously played a huge role.
But I would also add to yours is that both I'm trying to think if there's a third one, but in the two that you referred to, Meadow clearly drives the wrong way. She should not, one, be driving drunk or down a hill. And another symbol I noticed was when Tony and Gloria leave the car station, the arrow of the road is pointing the opposite way they're going. I mean, right away, it's established you're going the wrong way, Tony. You should not get in this car with this woman.
Right.
So
both, I didn't notice
both
that. Interesting.
Cars and relationships, they drive in the wrong direction.
I noticed Gloria and Tony, but it's a good point about Meadow that they're both going the wrong way.
So I think that's the symbol, the correlation. I'm trying to think if there's a third one, a third car. Usually third on car. This show, they work in threes in that way, but I can't think of a third car. It's going to bother me, and it's bothering someone else if I'm wrong.
And you think for the He Is Risen episode, it would come in three, you know?
Right, because Jesus.
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 Well, one third is Jesus, but sure. Okay, so let's do symbolism then. That I think cars is definitely a thing. Cars driving the wrong way. Jack, you got another symbol?
Yeah, so I feel like this is an obvious one, and everyone listening is going to be like, yeah, obviously. But at the end of the episode, when Gloria and Tony just did it on the boat, there's a lot of ducks and birds. And it zooms out and it's the car, it's the birds, it's the ship that, what was that?
Quack.
What is that?
That was a duck. It was being a duck.
I thought that was a symbol for something.
it is a symbol for family.
What else is there? Oh, and the Corrado line.
That's what being a boss is. You steer the ship the best way you know. Sometimes it's smooth, sometimes you hit the rocks. In the meantime, you find your pleasures where you can.
It just all came full circle, and the ducks at the end I thought was a really nice touch. But would you guys think there were ducks or just like seagulls?
James, no, they were definitely ducks. They were definitely ducks.
They were definitely ducks.
They were ducks, and it's just another reminder that Tony's ruining his family by taking in another Guma. And it is interesting with the car, the ship, the ducks. It's like they're all coming together. Mm-hmm. I think the note about Junior saying the, what was the line again, Jack? Sorry.
Steer the ship to find pleasures where you can.
That is like gold that it ends like that. The episode. So good.
Jack, you're killing it with the symbolism. Anything else?
No, I think that's all I had.
I had the ducks, but I didn't make the parallel with the boat. So as we know, Ralphie has taken over Richie's crew, and there are some more parallels than is obvious yet. But Ralphie says that Tony should get on his knees because he makes Tony a lot of money, and that he should shove a drumstick up Tony's ass. So he's starting to use these in the same way Richie would say gay things that we had talked about in last season. Ralphie is starting to adopt this language.
Yeah, I didn't notice it, but that's, I think you might be onto something.
Tony tells Melfi that he wakes up at 3 a.m. And then Melfi gets a call from Gloria at 3 o'clock in the morning, which I don't think that maybe it was Gloria, because I think we just established that that's not Gloria. But one of her patients woke her up at 3 in the morning with a phone call. 3 in the morning mentioned in both therapy sessions. Is that symbolism or is that cannoli? Very plot-driven episode. I feel like a lot of the symbols are cannolis. Like, that's why we're going back and forth a lot.
I agree.
Tony seeing Tracy when he looks at Meadow. That was kind of spoon feeding the audience a little bit, but it really does show how much he loves Meadow and why he's really taking this Tracy thing so personally.
Yeah.
Right. We had said I don't think Tony should have hit Ralphie in their moral code. And this is why. This is why Tony feels the way he does. And he says over my dead body that Ralphie will become capo. Right. I found it odd that Melfi was enabling Tony when he was pretty much admitting he might have to whack Ralphie. And, you know, she asks, are you in danger? And then Elliot calls her a soldier during their therapy session in an encouraging way. So he recognizes that Melfi's now a soldier for Tony.
And can I also mention, please, why is she giving him Sun Tzu, the Art of War? To your point, are you encouraging him to be a good mobster?
That's exactly what I was just going to say. it's so interesting that she did that.
And then he uses it to basically defeat Ralphie.
Right.
Like, she's helping him be a good mobster in this episode.
Do you think that that's a theme throughout the show, or is this an outlier in your guys' professional experience?
I think it's a little of both. Mm.
She goes back. I think she goes back and forth. And right now, you know, Tony offers to walk her to her car and she gets very emotional. Like, she's on his team right now.
Where do we think Melfi is emotionally in this episode? Do we think that she's still struggling? Do we think that she, obviously we know she's still struggling, but do you think that that's part of the reason why she's kind of like allowing this conversation to take place?
I do. I think she's still struggling with what happened to her. Yeah. And I think she sees Tony as protection still. So she's trying to enable him and make him powerful. If Tony's powerful, Melfi feels protected.
Right.
And there's a theory in the forums again, and I do not buy this. Let me just point out, I do not buy this at all. That it's kind of ridiculous to think that someone like Melfi would double book them. It just, Melfi's not stupid. Right. And this is Tony's regular visit. And there's a theory that, like, this was kind of her, thank you for being so good to me. Thank you for being my protector. And she subconsciously double booked them on purpose, knowing I give you Gloria.
That's an oxymoron. You can't subconsciously do something on purpose. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Wow. Who's the teacher now?
Yeah. What?
The point is.
But do the forums think it was intentional or subconscious? I'm not being.
No, it was subconsciously she did it. Yes.
Or like trying to live through Gloria in her, like.
I've read that too, that this is her way of being Gloria. Right.
I think I like the camp that she did it on purpose to thank him and just set them up. Like, I love that. But also, she wouldn't do that because of Carmella, and she knows
she doesn't really like do that.
I don't think she likes Carmella very much, though, to be fair.
I don't think so either.
No, I think she's awful to Carmella.
Awful.
I don't think Melfi's good to her. Yeah.
Junior is watching soaps when Tony goes to visit him, and as they're fighting about the thermostat, Tony and Junior, the woman on TV is saying, you're scaring me to death, the thought of losing you. And the man says, you're not going to lose me.
I didn't pick that up.
I didn't either.
Always listen to Junior soaps.
Always. Yeah, and that's interesting because the last time he watched soaps, we caught a symbol in there too.
Few times now. Yeah. I love how the camera pans to all of these schmucks after Polly asks Tony who he'll promote, which I don't think is a symbol. I think that was just a funny camera thing. And awesome. It lands on Ralphie and you're just like, fuck, there's no one else. So good. Oh, and we had a sit down this episode. Well, I guess Ralphie never sat.
Right.
Right. But that's technically he had two sit downs with Ralphie, even though no one sat, literally.
Yes. Well, the second one, he does sit.
Fair. There you go. He sits to name it, but then doesn't have that drink. Oh, and he gets up and leaves.
That was brutal.
So good.
Question about that, guys. Do you think that there's a correlation or a symbolism when Ralphie says Tony and when Ralphie says Anthony? Have you guys talked about this before?
Wait. No, but I noticed that too. Why you do? Why does he call him Anthony? He calls him Anthony, but sometimes he calls him Tony?
Yeah, I couldn't really see a trend, but I did notice Anthony was like more serious. But they're childhood friends, right? Do I have that right?
It's established later that they've known each other for quite a while.
Okay.
James told me that one. Good job, James. So I thought it was interesting that he switches back and forth. I don't think that many other people call him Anthony, really, besides like Carmella, right?
I don't even know if Carmella. Yeah, no one does. Junior call him Anthony?
Oh, maybe.
Every now and then they do. Kind of like how people will call me Joseph and Joe. It's sort of interchangeable, but as a character, like, we know him as Tony.
I only call you Joseph. Never do I call you Joe.
Yes, but right. Some people call him Anthony. Some people call him Tony. It's just.
I call you Jacqueline.
Yeah. It's funny. I call you Joe Stefanelli when I'm talking about you, but when I'm talking to you, I call you Joseph.
Do you talk about me quite often?
All the time.
All the time. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know.
Just kidding.
That's it for me. J- Joseph?
Joe?
I really enjoy, it might be a little over the top, but the opening scene starts off with in the casino with Ragdoll, which I think is a shout out to Tracy.
Okay.
She was a Ragdoll.
I thought that's good, yeah.
And, but then as soon as Ralphie comes over, it changes to the song Ghost Riders in the Sky, a cowboy legend. Oh, it's what literally sounds like earlier in the season, we heard the good and the bad and the ugly. Like it's this music of, it's a standoff, you know, yeah. Who's going to basically, you know, instead of who's going to shoot first, it's who's going to apologize first of the two of you. And I just thought that was fun. Little over the top, but I thought it was great.
I liked it.
I'm reaching here. I very much admit I'm reaching on this one, but there is an interesting parallel on how characters visually are revealed. You already mentioned seeing Meadow and thinking Tracy, but that reveal of Meadow, it's Carmella that he first sees. And then Carmella almost does this kind of spin out of frame, and she had been completely covering Meadow, who then is wearing that orange shirt. Mm. Okay. Yeah. And carrying the bread. And
which is bread like Tracy.
Right. But what I noticed is, and then very, very quickly, there's a moment when Ralphie's visiting Johnny Sack that Ginny completely blocks Ralphie and then leaves and reveals Ralphie. The only difference is Ralphie we know was there. Like, it's not like how Carmella's there. We think it's Carmella and then all of a sudden it's Melfi. So all of a sudden it's Meadow. It's Ralphie walks out with Ginny and then Ginny blocks him.
She's
a big woman. She blocks Ralphie and then leaves. And I just kind of noticed that. Like, I thought it was an interesting, like, that's twice in an episode where one human blocked another to reveal them. I just thought that was, and why are we paralleling Meadow and Ralphie? But I could be wrong.
Tony's biggest pains in the butt right now.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah. I thought it was a funny juxtaposition of Jackie saying he's moving out because he's a grown up, but then he's eating Tricks, which mm-hmm. we all know are for kids. I thought that was funny.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
Oh, another nice parallel. Tony says, Melfi says that thing about it, you asked, are you in danger? And Tony's response is just very comical. No. Can I go on?
Yeah.
And then in the next, it's in the session with Melfi and Cuthbert. He interrupts her and she goes, these fucking interruptions. So it's almost like she's speaking his language and he says it very nice. I mean, he says it funny, but he doesn't curse at her. He says, can I go on? So Melfi's kind of like almost becoming more
frustrated. She's a soldier.
Angry.
She's his soldier.
Right.
Love
and
it.
Then I also noticed the ducks in the end. I
have to. How could you not really, the ducks? You know?
What does the title mean?
Well, this episode aired on Easter Sunday.
I don't know if you knew, Sarah. He is risen. He being like Tony, Ralphie, Jackie. Everyone's on the rise.
Okay.
And I think that it's an elevating episode specifically for Ralphie and Jackie.
That is fair.
You got something same or different?
I mean, yeah, everyone's being elevated. Even Tony is kind of more of a boss in this episode. Like, he's just becoming more and more of the boss. I just felt that way, especially the way he deals with Ralphie, the way he's reading The Art of War. He's not jumping to conclusions. He's kind of playing a game of chess. He's very Michael Corleone in this episode.
Mm, sure.
I'm going to play with Ralphie a little bit and see what happens. And he comes up on top. And then, of course, I mean, Gigi.
And
Gigi
Michael,
rises.
And geez, because he's dead and goes to heaven.
He's dead. I think so.
And the piece of do.
Wait, also to parallel Michael Corleone, Tony goes to Junior for advice, much like Michael goes to his father for advice.
As I drink wine a lot more than I used to.
That was good.
So
that was good, Jack?
Yeah.
I did a good
mm-hmm.
accent there? Mm-hmm. Stupid.
That's not
the
an accent.
Game.
That's not an accent. That's just an impersonation.
Same.
Senator Corleone. Governor Corleone. I never wanted this for you, Michael. Oh, that's such a fucking good scene in the garden. Oh, God, that's such a good scene. You're right. That is the same scene. Oh, God.
I don't think it's as so good as like what you're doing, like getting excited right now, but like it's a parallel.
That's one of my favorite scenes in The Godfather.
Is it really?
The garden scene of them two sitting there is absolutely one of my favorite scenes in The Godfather. Maybe it is my favorite scene of The Godfather.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, so good.
The only piece I have to add is that, okay, this might be a stretch. Are you guys ready? Come with me on this.
We're coming.
Do you think Ralphie's apology is legitimate?
No.
Then my argument. So I was going to say, is he coming around? Like, is he rising to the occasion to apologize? But he seems really sincere.
I might disagree with you, Joseph. I feel like whether it might be his subconscious being like, yo, you got to step up, you got to do the right thing. But it felt like, yeah, I was coked out. Like, I did make a mistake.
Can I ask a question? Who cares?
It's a bad excuse. He kept saying that was an excuse, which I don't think is okay. Like, just because you're on coke doesn't mean you murder someone. But I do think that's he's not what sorry. I mean. Oh, that's not what you mean?
I don't mean the coke, who cares? I mean, who cares if he's being sincere or not?
Because either way, he's rising to the occasion. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay. That's what I think.
He's giving in to Tony, which is he knows is what he has to do in order to. That's what everyone has to do. You have to give in to Tony. Tony's the boss. Tony's going to win. So just, yeah. I guess I answered your question. No, I don't think it's sincere, but I don't care. Whatever.
I think it might be. Also, Aaron says, our narcoleptic friend says he has risen to Jackie when he comes over for Thanksgiving dinner.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the good news?
I feel like Janice associations get the title a lot. Like, keep Janice going. Says the title a lot. And then this guy said the title. What was the one where Janice, they cheers
another
Lydia.
Another toothpick.
She said the other toothpick. And she also, what's the Proshai Lavishka? What is it?
Proshai Lavishka, but that's not Janice. That's Svetlana.
Yeah, but Janice is toasting, no? Or is that Carmella?
That's Carmella.
Oh, okay. All right. Most valuable Goomba.
I hate to say it.
Oh, no.
It's Ralphie.
What do you think?
Ralphie, right?
I'm going Johnny Sack.
Johnny
really?
Sack. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
I just loved him. I loved him in this episode.
Just loved him.
He's just like the gossip queen.
He's
and I think everything that, sorry to interrupt you, but everything that happened with Tony and Ralphie, arguably because of Johnny Sack.
It is. He's the chess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Talking about playing chess.
Talk about valuable. That's all I got to say.
That's a very, very good argument. Because I think it's Ralphie just because it's who I think of for the episode and he becomes captain. But he, like, I don't know. Johnny Sack's a good answer. That or Gigi, man. I'm just kidding.
Well, Gigi, I mean, what Gigi does definitely changes a lot of stuff. And again, you know, it's also an anticlimactic way to get rid of this character that, you know, and it stops Tony from making a really tough decision.
It's an anticlimactic way for Ralphie to become captain.
Right.
Not it's anticlimactic for him to die. I think that was a big event. What the fuck are you doing? Go call 911.
It's another good one.
All right. So who do we think it is?
I'll give her Johnny Sack. I'm going to go Johnny Sack.
Wow.
Nice.
What an honor.
We'll throw her a bone. She really fucked up Fiend. Let's give this one to her.
I'm only adding curses in my quotes, but.
Now go home and get your fucking shine box.
Motherfucking mutt! You fucking piece of shit!
Yeah. Will your parents listen?
I don't know if they've ever listened to a podcast in their life, if I'm being honest, but I could. I don't know if I'm going to send it to them now.
Yeah, I don't know. My mom openly just doesn't listen.
Yeah. Can I tell you something? I'm really happy that Pussy is dead, because hearing you both say the word pussy every episode was like giving me a twitch.
Why?
I know, but is it? It's obviously his name, but hearing you guys both say it, it was
just weird.
It's just my cousins saying the word, you know?
Guys.
R.I.P. pussy, you know?
R.I.P. R.I.P. All right. If we pulled this shit or made us go, oh my God, that's us.
I have a good one for this.
Go.
Start us off.
When Rosalie and Carmela were on the phone and Carmela was like, oh, I was just talking to Meadow. And Rosalie was like, I was just talking to Jackie. I pictured our mom, Sarah, being like, oh, I was just talking to Sarah. I was just talking to Jack.
Like, they said this,
they said that. Yeah. I was like, that's literally our moms.
1,000%.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question for you, Jacqueline.
Mm-hmm.
On Thanksgiving, does your family eat the traditional American Thanksgiving or do you have Italian dishes sporadically throughout?
You know, what's funny. We go out to dinner, which is very un-Italian American. Ever you since do, my grandparents
I
do, died.
I did know that.
Yeah. And my mom just doesn't want to take on another holiday and we don't blame her. So we go out to dinner. So we have like the traditional.
Okay. You order Thanksgiving food though. It's not like you or just go out to dinner and order.
Yeah, I would say so.
Zuppa de mussels.
Right. Why? What do you guys do?
Very traditional. We used to do it when my grandfather was alive. We always had lasagna.
We have lasagna baked every other holiday. Yeah.
Baked money, God. I mean, it was different all the time as an appetizer. Not yeah, appetizer, it was like a first dish. Mm-hmm. Portion. Yeah.
But we don't do it anymore.
No.
Interesting.
We have lasagna on Easter. Do you guys have it on Easter?
No.
Oh, interesting. What do you have?
Okay, but Easter is going to be at my house brunch. Now. Maybe we do it. Oh, we have brunch. That's what it is. I'm like, why?
Right. Yeah. We have brunch.
Right. Like, why does it not feel weird that we have? But maybe we'll have lasagna this year because it will be at my house.
Oh,
there you go. Nice.
I get Easter, Jacqueline.
That's very exciting.
That's my holiday.
It really pissed me off when Rosalie has the nerve to interrupt Jackie to ask,
honey, I know you don't like it. I know you don't like to be pinned down, but Thanksgiving, it would be very nice to be able to tell Carmela whether you're coming.
Can you imagine one of our mothers ever even thinking to say that to us?
Never in a million years.
You're going to Thanksgiving.
Right.
Or you're not? Great. You're not. But tell us. Like, it's not. If you don't tell me, the answer is no. Mm-hmm. You're not going. Like, he's such a spoiled little shit.
Our mother wants an answer whether I'm going to Thanksgiving in June.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Don't like to be pinned down. Like, that's not even a thing. It's like, yeah, no, pinned down. Are you coming?
Right.
It's months away. Yeah, I couldn't relate to that scene.
Mm-mm.
No.
I have a personal issue when anyone lies about someone else being sick to get out of something.
Wait, that was I hated that. That really, I was surprised Carmela did that.
Lie about yourself.
Right.
That's fine. But like I've lied.
Because I think that's a big Catholic thing that we like our Catholic guilt wouldn't let us do that.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because it's like because of karma, but that's not Catholic, but I'm totally with you. She crosses herself. I think she knows what she did. When she gets off the phone, she crosses herself.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
like, just say I have COVID. It's a great excuse.
Right.
I tested positive for
that's
COVID.
That's fucked up.
We can't have Thanksgiving. Like, remember when I had COVID, we couldn't have Christmas? You all thought I had COVID. You all fell for it, right? There you go.
He's
and
kidding,
I just
want to
point out that
is
white,
I
did have COVID 2 Christmases ago. My whole family did. We couldn't have Christmas. That white sweater that Jackie wore at Thanksgiving, I had that exact sweater, but I had it in orange, which is ironic because Meadow wears orange. Mm. At Thanksgiving, but that sweater is Express.
What a little Guido you were.
It was, everybody let me tell you something, those. We all had that sweater and we all tried to look as good as he does in that sweater, but we did not.
When, Joseph, take me through, how old were you? You're older than Meadow and Jackie when the show came on, or you were like around their age? Like you were in college.
I would have graduated high school 2 months after this episode aired. So I'm about a year younger than them.
So pretty much the same.
Though I think Jackie, though, is a year older than Meadow.
Than Meadow. A year younger than Meadow.
He even says, I've been there since freshman year.
Hmm.
Yeah.
At that chapter of his fraternity.
Yeah, he's older. So. I wonder what fraternity he's in. They have the letters on there. Someone has them painted on their face and I didn't pay attention. Nothing that I didn't recognize. Good college party scene.
Yeah.
I agree.
With the highlighter, I was like, yeah, this is good. Every frat basement has highlight. Yeah, like they looked like they were at a frat basement in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. Bravo. Yes.
In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if they literally got a frat basement in New Jersey.
Yeah.
It did look like one of mine. I was like, oh, that looks like the hole, which has been knocked down.
Like, why sadly. Not? Why not just go to a frat and say, hey, listen, how cool is it? We want to film a scene and we'll decorate your place.
No, so it's you all fucking
party.
They're all decorated like that anyway. It's literally great. Didn't even have to.
Then it all works out.
Did you guys find that website where it takes you, I don't know if I'm just a North Jerseyer who geeks out on this, but like every scene of The Sopranos where it was actually filmed?
No.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Yeah.
It was like all around my neighborhood. So it was very exciting that we always did that, but I could look that up. The club.
Look it up right now.
Not the club, the frat.
Look it up right now.
I can't find it. Okay. There's no location. It starts with Vesuvius. So it must have just been a little studio.
Yeah, probably a studio set. Well done, though. Whoever decorated it was good. All right, cannolis. Melfi not thinking Gloria has real problems in her therapy sessions, but this was based off of me being convinced that Melfi was talking about Gloria in her therapy session with Elliot. So that maybe is one or not. But Gloria not having real problems is a cannoli. Meadow being a bad driver in general is a cannoli.
Hmm.
Within the episode cannoli, Tony is having a moment with Meadow, you know, if anything ever happened to you, and then Jackie telling her she almost died in the car accident had kind of a parallel of, thank God you're okay, if anything happened to you vibe to it. So we had this parallel with those two.
That's a good catch.
Yeah.
I have a few. The lyrics on the final shot, I actually already referred to another, but there's another thing that the song says that I thought was cool. You be the captain and I'll be no one. It's very much kind of foreshadowing Gloria's arc in general.
And captain for Ralphie?
Oh, and of course. Yeah, captain. Yeah. Oh, actually, I was thinking Tony. I understand what you're saying.
Oh, captain of the boat. Captain of the boat.
Yeah, like Tony being the one that she wants, so on and so forth.
Okay.
To call back, Tracy in this episode, we said it before, is constantly being referred to as a horse. Horse. There's definitely like this.
A horse.
In case you didn't get it in the last episode. She's a horse.
She's a horse.
She's a horse. That's okay. That's that.
I like that got a little sing and dance, song and dance.
You like that?
Yeah.
Silvio basically predicts Gigi's death.
Did you see those bags? Fucking stress is killing him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got that the second time I watched it.
Ralphie asking Johnny about switching families. And Johnny being honest and saying Carmine doesn't know who you are.
That was an ouch moment.
But it's interesting that he's that honest with Ralphie because he's not going to be honest with another character later who basically makes the same request.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
I don't wanna go into. And those are mine. That's all I noticed.
I had one in, I think it was the middle of the episode. Ralphie was wearing a scarf that felt very intentional.
Ugly as hell.
Ugly as hell. But like, I feel like so noticeable. Like, why was so many questions? And I think the cannoli there is that he's feeling like restrained by Tony.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it so much. That scarf was, I was so floored by the scarf.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's wearing a t-shirt with like pashmina. Like, it's weird.
I have so many questions about it.
I think you're on to it. I think that's a very good catch. Or anything else,
girls?
I got a little shit done.
Yeah, I do too.
I got a lot. Well, because you know what? This, like we said, this episode was really plot driven. So it wasn't like really heavy on the cannolis. It wasn't too heavy on the symbolism, but there's just a lot of shit happening, right? So why anything else is very heavy.
I'll start off with a very simple welcome back, Hesh. Little yeah, moment.
Where has he been?
It's nice to see you, Hesh. Great job. Love that. Are you guys too young to understand the Jetsons joke?
I need you to call Rosalie and cancel with them.
Thanksgiving? Why?
Just do it, all right? Enough of this Jetson shit. I'm going over to Mr. Spacely's house for dinner.
The allusion that he makes to the Jetsons and Mr. Spacely.
Joseph, the Jetsons was on in the fucking 1960s. You're too young to know that everyone knows the Jetsons.
Which is why I didn't know if you did. But it was on in reruns when I was a kid. Because it was on in reruns. The Flintstones and that were definitely...
Of course. They were on in the 60s. If you know it, I know it.
If my students heard that, they would not know who Mr. Spacely or the Jetsons
are. Okay, your students are 100 years younger than us. You and me, if you know the Jetsons, you're acting like the Jetsons were on when you were a kid.
I apologize
She's
of you.
She's very upset.
I mean, I thought it was a funny little joke. I enjoyed it.
Okay. I like the joke, though. Mr. Spacely's funny.
A lot of lying in this episode, I noticed. Maybe this was a symbol, I don't know, but Carmela lies to Rosalie. Johnny Sack is lying to Tony and Ralphie.
Good one.
Gloria's lying to Melfi. I just thought there was a lot of like little white lies going on.
Huh.
That's huge.
Yeah.
It is huge. Okay. But why?
I don't know. People lie in order to rise to the occasion.
Mm. No, I think they're lie because they're hungry to get what they want. No, and they'll lie to get it, to get what they want.
You know, I'm a big fan of Tony's malapropisms.
Yes.
This is definitely the best malapropism of season 3.
Oh, I hope it's what
I wrote down. Maybe the greatest of the series. When he says,
"You know, most of the guys that I know, they read Prince Machiavelli."
So good. It's so good.
But what I believe he means is Machiavelli's the Prince.
Yeah.
But here, two interesting things about that. One, the subtitles do not catch the malapropism.
No. It says Machiavelli.
It says Prince Machiavelli.
Yeah.
Which is still stupid. It's still funny, but it's not as funny as Machiavelli. I mean, that's funny. Then my other thing is more of a question for you guys. Is Tony a Machiavellian character?
Deep.
I mean, I would say he is, right?
Yeah.
Joseph, remind me what a Machiavellian character is, because I don't remember.
A Machiavellian character is basically an arrogant, boastful character that will do anything to get what he wants.
Even lie.
You know, cheat, get his way. And you know, many people compare it to a narcissist who is more about all about me, me, me. And Tony's not a narcissist.
No, he's not.
Even though I think it's been referred to as a narcissist, he's more of a Machiavellian to me, in simple terms, is more evil.
Okay.
Than a narcissist is. And
more like strategic, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we said he's playing chess.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I thought it was interesting that this particular episode refers to the malapropism Machiavelli. He says he doesn't like the book. He doesn't like the book, but actually you do, Tony.
Right. Because
you're a Machiavellian character. So
you're it. Yeah. You covered it, Joseph?
That's all I had. Yeah, I covered a lot throughout the episode.
So I'm surprised Paulie says aloud, "Let's whack this cocksucker," when he does and be done with it. Like, usually Paulie will use code words or actually even be funny about stuff like that. It just seems very loud. They're in a room full of people. I know it's their world, but still, they can't like openly talk about how they're going to try to whack Ralphie in that room. I just found that poor writing, honestly.
I agree. But here's the thing. Is whack, like in a court of law, can a jury convict you for saying I whacked him?
Yes.
Or is that code?
No.
I'm asking. I don't know.
I don't.
I need a lawyer. I need Tommy
on here.
I need a lawyer.
No.
Or Nick. Like, I need Nick or Tommy to answer
whack
this question.
I think whack is a known word that you know what they mean.
I think so too.
I love how they, in their world and their way, partake in charity around the holidays, of how they get all of the turkeys and give it to the minister's parish. I love that. Christopher's in the fucking holiday spirit, giving away stolen turkeys. Fucking Robin Hood, taking out of the truck. Like, I love that. Carmela's costume while she's having the phone conversation with Ro. The first one, Jacqueline, you were talking about. They said. It rocks.
Oh, yeah. And she looks so good.
Who wears that outfit to go food shopping? Carm does. Mm-hmm. It's the fall colors. Cool. It's that fall warm, rich. It's the gold. It's the green. It's gorgeous.
A few episodes ago, I said the same thing, though. The outfit she's wearing. Why are you wearing that outfit to go do? I forget what she was doing, but sometimes her outfits don't match her destination. I just go, what are you wearing? I will say this also on that. I think her hair at these few episodes are the best that Edie Falco ever had Carmela's hair.
It's a really heavy side part.
I just really think she looks great right now.
Yeah.
Her hair changes a lot through the series.
Yeah, I noticed that too. It looks good. Isn't it bad that really, really bad that Tony's seen by anyone in a therapist office? Like, isn't this a super private matter, especially in 2001, where it's really bad that he runs into someone?
It's a waiting room.
I feel like he's becoming more open with it, too.
Yeah, that's fair. I love how Jackie's so close to this family that he can just walk in after Thanksgiving dinner that his family was uninvited to and ask Meadow out on a date in front of the entire Thanksgiving table.
And you see Carmela, though. At first, well, eventually she's upset because she's not really sure if she wants them dating, but she knows, oh shit, he's going to go and tell his mother we're having this big Thanksgiving dinner.
1,000%. And also, this is just, it's so good. I've told you, they would arrange this marriage if they could.
See, I don't think, I disagree with
you. I disagree too. I don't think that Carmela wants this at all.
Rosalie does, of course. And by the way, she's right. Their children would be beautiful. Stunning.
Stunning.
They won't be able to sing, but stunning.
No. Or drive. Is little Polly related to our Polly?
His nephew.
Did they cover that in this episode that I should have gotten that?
Wait, why don't I know who little Polly is?
There's a second in this episode. They walk in and they go, hey, little Polly. And I'm like, who the fuck's little Polly?
Which is his debut. Little Polly. Little Polly is in the show now. Little Polly's a character.
And he's Polly's nephew?
He's Polly's nephew.
Equate him with who?
Benny.
And the Jets? Who's Benny?
No, Benny, Christopher's guy. Remember in Fortunate Son, we met Benny, who was the guy from Doogie Howser, Max Casella.
I love him.
A Newsies. You like him from Newsies. I equate him with that character.
Got it. Okay, I love that Johnny Sack says Ginny has bad joints because she was a dancer.
It's calls her so a hooker. Sweet.
He loves her.
He adores
Ginny.
Most valuable Goomba.
Yeah, honestly, I think just because of that line. Like, that just warms my heart.
It's so cute.
Okay, and I have one last one. Okay, they're at the table. Artie and Tony at the end, and they're drinking wine, and Ralphie walks in, and Artie excuses himself to go rotate his pork shoulder, and he stands up, and it's just, is it brilliant acting or brilliant directing? What do we think it is? Because just the proprietor of this restaurant just kind of tosses crumbs off the table as he walks away. Like, just, I noticed something in my restaurant. You're always looking at the details and you always want it to be perfect. I thought it was just, is that him or was that the director?
It felt like him.
That's him.
Yeah.
He is an improver and he was known for that. Like, he never allowed his character just to say a line. He always had to throw some flourish in with his physical. Like, one of my favorite moments from season two when he goes, it was the muscles. That's it. Like, he snaps. Yeah. That, it's the equivalent to that.
He's so good.
Yeah, I think he's one of my favorite actors in the whole show.
Yes.
I think he might be my, because I don't think, Polly, but I don't think he's acting.
No. See, yeah, I don't think
Polly's
acting.
Not acting at all.
Right. I think Artie, what is Artie's name again? I always forget.
John Ventimiglia.
I have it in my sheet, but he beat me to it.
Well, who went to acting school with Michael Imperioli. They were very good friends.
Oh, no way.
No shit.
Yeah. And no shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jack, did you have anything else?
Nope. Oh, mine. We've already gone through.
Boom. All right.
Nailed it.
So, welcome, Nailed Jack. It. How was that?
Great episode of the cousin sit down.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. I love you.
Thanks for having me. It was really an honor.
All right. Thanks to our listeners for analyzing He Is Risen with us. A special thanks to Jacqueline Davella, our special guest. That's all from us for now. Talk to you soon when we discuss the next episode, The Telltale Mozzadel.
Mozzadel.
I said that.
Mozzadel. You said mozzarella.
No, I didn't. Mozzadel.
Next time on The Sibling Sit Down. Really putting the sibling into this exit.
This has been The Sibling Sit Down.
The Cousin Sit Down.
Thanks for listening to The Sibling Sit Down. Please remember to like or follow the show on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. So you never forget about it.